Colossians, in verse, we're going to start at the verse number 15, and we're going to read down through to the end of the chapter. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, or all things that created by him, for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Kind of heard that this morning in Sunday school class, if you weren't here. The preeminence. For he is pleased, verse number 19, for it pleased the Father that he should all fullness dwell, and having peace through the blood of his Christ, of the cross, unto him. By him I say there that be things of the earth or things of the heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet not hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh to death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which is that ye have heard, and which are preached to every creature which is under the heaven, wherefore, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And this thing's bothering me. I'm going to move it to the side. I get easily distracted sometimes. I have that obsessive compulsive sometimes. I got obsessed about it. It's got to be a certain way. That's okay. All right, verse number 24. Who now rejoice in my infirmities for you, and fill up that which is beginning of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for this body's sake, which is the church. Therefore, I made a minister of according to the dispensation of God, which is given to you or to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the ministries of which thou hast hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches and the glory of this mystery. I like that. The riches and the glory of this mystery. Sometimes life is a mystery, but there's the glory. There's the glory of God. We got to dwell on that glory part much of the time, because many times it's far and in between the suffering and the problems and the difficulties. But we're supposed to dwell on those things, those wonderful glories and the mysteries among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto also labor, strive according to the works which work in me mightily. We are created by God. Look back at verse number 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, whether they be dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. All of us are created by him. We are created for him. So what does that tell me? That tells me that we need to do a service for Jesus Christ. We are to do service for him. A few years ago, I had heard some preaching and was just convicted by some things, because a lot of times I just get up in the morning and I just go. I'm in a hurry to get to work. I got things I got to do. But I was convicted because each day that I get it's not my day. It's God's day. So I begin praying this in the morning. And I was going to pray before, but I changed my mind, changed the direction before we started the message. But I pray this: Lord, thank you for another day to serve you. See, that gets my perspective the right way. This day is not my day. It's God's day. Now, we've set this aside for the special needs people, the fun we can have with them, the excitement that comes with ministering to them. We have to focus on them. That's why we set this day aside, but really this day is God's day. That's why it says to come the first day of the week, assemble yourselves together to worship him. Now, I tell our church a lot of times when I'm on the platform and I have the chance to open the service, or if I'm doing the service for the pastor, if he's not there, we came to worship the Lord. Whether there's a multitude of people in the congregation, whether there's just a couple. If it's just me, my wife, and my family, we're still going to come and worship God. My worship to God does not depend on you. Did you know that? It doesn't. It doesn't. I can be God with the Lord all by myself and worship Him. Worship is between me and Him. Now, if you want to get in on it, that's what I tell our people. If you want to get in on the worship when the Lord's really moving and the Lord's exciting and the things are moving, if you want to get in on part of it, help yourself. But if you don't, just get out of my way. We've been in a few services where the Lord's just come down in our church. I mean, come down in such a way that we had a preacher one time, Brother Porter. I don't know if anybody know Brother Porter. Tall drink of water. Oh, big, tall, thin man. Puts me in a lot of my great-grandfather. But he would come to our church, and we had a meeting one time, revival meeting. I didn't want it to end. But I'm telling you, the Lord moved in. Boy, it was exciting to see the God work. And it just made me want to worship the Lord even more. And at one time, he kicked over the side door up there and looked outside. And he said, I see the devil's tracks. He's all around this place, but he's not in here. It's exciting to see God move. And God, we can worship the Lord. But we worship the Lord ourselves. We're supposed to worship Him. But He's created us to worship Him. We're created by Him and we're created for Him. Let's go to Psalms chapter 139. I like the Psalms there. You know, we're created for Him. It says that things that were visible and things that were invisible were created by Him. Let's look at Psalms 139. We're going to start in verse 1. I like reading a lot of these Psalms. They're small. They're not very big. But to get the whole context of the one scripture that we want to get to, we need to read a lot. And it says in verse 1, O Lord, that Thou hast searched me and know me. That's a tough one there. O Lord, Thou hast searched me, and Thou hast known me. Have you ever asked the Lord, just, Lord, search me? You know, sometimes we're going along in life, and the Lord's working really good, and our cup is full, and we're doing service for the Lord, and we're doing things in the church, and we're moving along really, really well, and we think we're doing okay. But we need to come to that point and say, Lord, search me. Lord, if there's something in me that won't let me get closer to you, that's a problem. So point that out to me. Because sometimes we like to overlook some things, don't we? Well, we just kind of brush that under the rug. God won't think about that. Oh, no. He keeps a good record. He keeps the best records. I just heard a message a couple weeks ago about that. God keeps good accounts. We have to give an account for everything that we do. But God knows us. Now, in verse number 2, Thou knowest my downsettings, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path with my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whether shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend into the heavens, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utter parts of the sea, even if there shall I, Thy hand lead me, and Thy upright hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth me not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness of the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that Thy, my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yea, being unperfect. That's important there. Thine eyes had seen my substance, yea, being unperfect, and in the book of all my members were written, which were continuous, were fashioned, when it yet there was none of them. How precious also are they, thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more in number than the sands. When I awake, I will still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay me. Say the wicked, O God, depart from the therefore thy bloody men, for the speak against thy wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, and I, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not grieved with those that rise against thee. I hate them with a perfect hatred. That's important. There's some things that God hates, but you got to do it, dislike it. I don't like hate. I say dislike it. Strongly dislike it the right way. Search me. I hate thy perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We want God to lead us the way everlasting. In verse number 13, for thou possessest my reins, thou coverest me in my mother's womb. I praise thee. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that thy soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. God created us. He formed us in secret. He created us. Now, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by how God creates human beings. I am. I know how He created Adam, and He created Eve different than He created Adam, but He creates us differently. I'm fascinated by how things take place in the human body. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But the Bible tells us that we don't understand, like I said before, we're all created different. And in our mother's womb, God has created us. He's created us. Every facet of us, He created us. All my children are different. They came from the same mother and father, but they're different. They all have a different characteristic. Just as the special needs children and people have different characteristics. You learn that. Okay, I can't do this. This sets them up. I can do this. It calms them down. There's different ways of doing that. We begin to understand that, but God created them the way that they are. He created them with their facets of their abilities and their disabilities. He created them with the mind that they have and the things that excite them, the things bring them down and cause them pain and grief. He's that just the same way as you and I. He's created them that way. But God knew all this. He created the special needs. He created our son Joshua the way he is. I don't understand why, but God has a reason. I'm learning that. And I feel he won't really fully learn that until we get to heaven. Josh is also a blessing. But sometimes, I'm telling you, it's rough. It's rough. It's rough to get through that. I got to save that for a little bit later. I'll share some things with you. But it says that we're created and formed in secret. He created us that way over in Psalms chapter 107. Let's turn there, 107. Just back a few pages. 107, the scripture here, I'm just going to read just a few scriptures. I like reading a lot of this. Well, let's just jump up here in verse number 21. We're going to get down to verse number 28 here. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare it His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in the great waters, these see the works of the Lord and the wonders of the depth. For He commandeth the rising of the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, then they go down to the depths. Their souls is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distress. He makes a storm of calm so that the waves therefore are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet so that they bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children. Oh, praise the Lord. Now that's, if you read this 107, that's repeated a lot of times. But a lot of times, God knows exactly the situation you're going through. If you have a special needs a person, a child, a daughter, or you have a friend that you're working with and you're trying to help them, God knows that. God, here's what they said. They said they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distress. In the time of trouble, we got to call upon Him. There's been many times in our life where we had to call upon the Lord because we didn't know what to do. What are we going to do? I don't know. But I know one. I know one. It says here, and I thought the pastor was going to talk about this morning. He did a little bit about how Christ can calm the sea. And you see that a lot in the Bible, a lot of nautical things, because these men that were writers of the Bible, they dealt with that. God used those things to teach them. It says here that here these sailors go out to sea, and they see that the ship is goes down, and the ship is in the sea, and they're trying to do business in great waters. But yet, when they're in these waters and problems, the storms and winds arise and lifting up their waves, and they mount up the heavens and they go down. So they're up and down, up and down. They're in the deep. But one that can control the storm, that's the guy I want to be friends with. When he came walking on the water one time. What kind of man is this that could walk on the water? I mean, it was no fake walking on the water. I've seen a few of that. I've seen some people. Looks like they're walking. There's only one. There's only one that could. And then one tried. But when he saw the storm, he began to sink. But he grabbed hold of the hand of the one who was walking on the water. But yet, one day, he was in the ship, and the storm came. He said, "We must go to the other side." But they had one in the ship, who was Jesus Christ. And all he said was, "Peace, be still." One that can control the uncontrollable. And sometimes we're faced with that sometimes. The uncontrollable. I've been there. My wife is there multiple times. A lot more than me. But one that can control the trouble and the storm. I want to know him. But it says that they prayed to them. There was another portion of scripture where Paul was in a ship, and they were going to where God had wanted him to go, but he chose not to. But God made visions for him to go, and they were in a storm. And he said, "I don't think we should loose from Crete because it's the wrong time of the year." Oh no, we know this. We know we're shipmen. We know how to run the boat. We know how to get across the seas. We have experience. And he said, "Okay." They were in a storm, but he was praying. And I preached this not too long ago. He was praying in the parts of the ship he was not around, but he said, "This night, the angel of the Lord stood by me." Wow. I've been there where I couldn't do anything but the angel of the Lord. The presence of God was with me. He said, "The ship's not going to make it. The ship's not going to make it. But all that are in the ship will be saved." That's what I've been told. So don't let them get out of the ship. Some of them said, "We're going to get the little lifeboats, and we're going to do it our way. We're going to make a break for it." No, there's no making a break for it. God said, "Unless they abide in the ship, not be saved." There's another picture and a type of the Christian. This church, if you're a member of this church, this is your ship. You need to abide in it. You have a man of God that stands behind this desk and preaches the gospel and is concerned for you to lead and guide you and help you in your walk with the Lord, don't abandon it. Because if you abandon it out there, apart from the ark of safety here, there's trouble because you're alone. You're alone. And you can be shipwrecked in that story that many of the people, they left the ship, they got on the ship, they floated on whatever they could find. They chunks of wood and they floated, but they all got to shore safely because God had a plan. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for our life. Remember, I told you in the beginning that we all have a story to tell. Spiritually, we have a story to tell. I always say it this way. You really don't have a story to tell until you know Christ. Because biblically, you're dead. The Bible says you're dead in the trespasses of sin. But when you come to know Christ, you become alive. That's when you really have a story to tell. All of us have stories to tell. Our story is maybe a lot like some others. I don't know. We know some people that have special needs children, and in first starting out as a newlywed couple, we thought, man, this is wonderful. This is great. We were excited to have our first child come into this world. And he came into this world, and we were all nervous about it. They don't give you a handbook. They don't give you a handbook with children. I wish they did. You pay enough at the hospital, they should give you something. More than just the little plastic bags and the plastic stuff you take home. They need to give you a handbook. But let me tell you what. God gives a handbook. Right here. You want to learn how to raise your children? right here. You want to learn how to help special needs people? Right here. This is the answer. Now, sometimes it may take you a little digging to find it, but it's all in here. He said, this is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. Each and every one of us has a path. And this is the source to help you through your path. Wherever you're going, whatever God has planned for you in the future, it's right here. You see, God sees life, our life, as you see up here, it's kind of an arch. Now, if you're standing over here, and there's a wall here, you can't see from the piano to the organ. But you know what? God stands right here, and he sees it. Now, we just see, as we begin to go around, we begin to see, oh, there's something over here. But God sees us that way. God sees everything that we do. And this is our path, and this is our guide to show us where we're going and where we're headed. And we need to rely on it. Now, we when Josh came into the world, we didn't think anything was wrong. Hey, we got us a boy. Firstborn son. You know, wasn't that what the ladies in the Old Testament? They wanted a firstborn man child. Well, we got one. Now, we thought, man, this is great. You know, we got us a boy. He was small when he was born, but he began to grow really fast. I mean, he had some issues. But hey, you ever had a child, you don't know that that's an issue. But our doctor, our family, not our family physician, but our pediatrician, Dr. Abrego. Anybody know who Dr. Abrego is? Okay. She's funny. But one day we were, I think it was about 6 months into our, 2 months? 2 months into our, see, she keeps me straight. She is the numbers lady. If you want a number, ask her. See, I can't dial in a phone. If I don't have a smartphone, forget it. I'm lost. She can just rattle the numbers off. But we went to our doctor's appointment, and we both went in and checked Joshua out. She says, I'd like you to come to my office. Okay. Come to her office, and we sit down in the chair, and then she says, I've noticed something in Joshua that I didn't really say anything because I didn't know. I'm just thinking sometimes some things progress slowly. He was a little small when he was born. And so she said, there's some things that I see in Joshua that are not normal. Man, the young couple, first child. Man, that's like dropping a bomb. Here, I had my plans already. What my boy was going to do and what we were going to do together. And I enjoy doing stuff with my children. But God had other plans. God had created him in secret and in invisible places. God created him the way he is. So we're going to face it. We're going to face it. So we begin to just raise Josh just like we would raise any child. Wait, I've always seen my mom and dad raise me. We're going to raise Josh the same way. Why treat him any other way than a normal child? Now, sometimes in certain situations, we don't allow Josh to do some things because he's got some needs and some needs some special help. But we begin to raise Josh the way we thought God wanted us to raise him. But there was a problem. The problem wasn't my wife. The problem was Pete. I was bitter. I heard a pastor preach one day on bitterness, and Josh was probably about, I think it was around two or three years old. And I've been fighting it, been struggling with it. Well, we had a child, but I was bitter because my son wasn't like the other little kids in the nursery. My son couldn't walk and move like the other kids in the nursery. Josh was what they called a floppy baby. He had no muscle tone. When he was first born, he couldn't take a bottle. So what I did in the hospital the whole time is I just took a nipple and just kept putting it in and pulling it out, trying to get him to get that suction. So he had to have something to eat. I mean, he was little. But then he began to eat. And for quite a while there, Josh would feed every 2 hours. It was exhausting. More for my wife than for me, but I'd have to get up and get him and bring him to the bed. So neither one of us was getting any sleep. But But I begin to get bitter with God. Begin to question, why? Why me? I mean, sung in church all my life. Tried to go and sing and be a blessing to others. And then we have our first church trying to start a family. I kind of went off the road of singing to get married and to have a family because I knew that I needed to have a family established in a church. I've seen too many people try to be on the road singing and ministering and their lives just fall apart. They need to be rooted in a church. And we had a good church. Begin to be bitter at God. But I heard that message and the Lord spoke to my heart. Actually, I had to come basically kind of into my rope and say, but it was that bitterness. I didn't want that bitterness to be a hindrance of what God had in the future. So one Sunday morning, I got up from my pew after hearing that message, and I walked all the way back to the nursery. And I'll never forget, Josh was wearing that suit that kind of like a leisure suit. It's a tan leisure suit, and all the previous grandchildren had it and passed it on to Josh. It's a light tan and a little tie. And I grabbed him, and we walked all the way through the congregation to the altar on the right-hand side. Almost in the very same spot where I came and asked Christ to save me. And he came into my life and made me a new creature. It was on this side of the auditorium down here at the altar. And I knelt there with him in my arms. And I had to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me a child. Didn't have to do that. Didn't have to give me a child. We could have went without having children. But he gave me a child. And I need to be content with what God has given me. Sometimes we're not content with what God gives us. We look at what others have and say, Lord, why can't I have that? I want that. That surely looks like more fun than what I have. But I'll tell you why. God has given us the best thing we could possibly have in our first child. Because the second child... Total opposite. Total opposite. I thought we had problems with Josh, but Andrew, when he was growing up, man, where is he? What's he doing? He was always the one ahead of everybody, even a normal child. He was above doing things that other kids did. He's our athlete. Our athlete. Nathan, you're an athlete too, but you're in your own way. But after I got things right with the Lord, God began to use some things. Now, I'll tell you this, that my wife, she deals more with Josh than I have. I was traveling a little bit, singing, and started a group after all three boys were born. And we got to do some things. And, you know, Josh was kind of teaching us to rely on God. Not too long after that, Josh was diagnosed with a virus. That medication wasn't doing anything. We ended up in the Metro Hospital with Joshua. We also did chromosome studies to figure out why, and they just labeled Josh in a big group of developmentally delayed and microcephalic and a lot of these things. And we took some genetic testing with Dr. Schaefer, and Dr. Schaefer wanted us to be tested to see why Josh was the way he is, and the only thing that they could find out is Josh is missing maybe two or three chromosomes, if I remember correctly. Well, you know, a lot of us are missing some things, a few bricks, so we're in the same boat. But he asked us to be tested, and my question was to him, why do you want to test it? I know if it helps somebody, that would be wonderful. That was my first thought. But my second thought was, if we get tested and there's something wrong with us and you proceed to do that test to some other family that are expecting a child, what will they do with that child? So I said, no. We don't want to do that because we don't want to be the cause of a death of a child, somebody murdering. And I believe it is murder. Biblically, it is because God created that. So we went on and Josh entered into the hospital and God began to show us some things through him. You know, we did all we could. As parents, we got him a good doctor, we got him in a good hospital, but still no change in that. Then I begin to go back to what the Bible says. The Bible says, if there's a problem, call the elders of the church to pray. So on a Sunday morning, we called, and my parents are there. I called a couple of people at the church that I have faith and confidence in, and they came to the hospital up there, and we all kind of crammed into that room. I think he was there for like a week. And what I do remember most about it, Josh was eating vegetables. We're trying to get him to eat, and he was wearing more vegetables than he was eating. And I remember him having a big old orange carrot right here on the top of his head. And when I think of this picture, funny, but you had to find some fun in it because you're there in a hospital. Nothing's good about a hospital. Nothing is good about a hospital. It just drains you. But I called for those folks of the church to come. And the pastor was there. My parents were there. And they prayed and asked God to move. I mean, we prayed, but our faith wasn't the same as what. We were just dealing with the situation, trying to do what we could. But we needed to go to Him. And we went to Him. It was no more than a day that Josh began to get better. I can't explain it, but the explanation is we did what God said to do. We followed His Scripture. And Josh came out of that. Now, I say that to say this. Prayer is important in Joshua's life. If you got a problem, and it's mentioned in a Wednesday night prayer meeting, where Josh finds out that you're sick, guess what? Josh is the one who will not let us forget that person asked for help and that they were sick. He is a prayer warrior. We, a few years back, there's been quite a huge bit now because this young man now is graduating from school. And our pastor, that previous pastor, Brother Ray Carpenter, had a son, Mark Carpenter, who is in Columbus now. They were expecting their first child. Their first child came into the world, and there was a problem with that child. The problem with that child was that child could not breathe. So we got a phone call at service. It was an evening service, and we all were kind of concerned about it. You know, we as a church we prayed, and they called not just our church, but they called some other churches, and we began to pray. And we were all done with our praying. Honestly, we were done. We were just hanging around just to see. We were waiting for a phone call to see what was going to happen. You know, that God had done a miracle and God had moved in and God had took care of. I want to say was it Titus? Titus. Yeah. They don't have a Paul and Silas. They have a Titus. And we were waiting, anticipating. And while we're standing around there just kind of fellowshipping, Joshua makes his way by himself to the altar in the front of the church. Just him. A couple other people kind of noticed what's Josh doing. Well, Josh likes to pray. So he made his way up there. And I can't say what he said. He mumbled and he usually when he is praying, he's mumbling something, and I don't know what it is, but it could be, you know, God knows the secret things. And so he began to pray, and he was done. He did what he felt he needed to do, and he got up and walked back and standing around with us. And it couldn't have been more than 10 or 15 minutes, the phone rang. Got a phone call. Everything's okay. Began to breathe on his own. They thought maybe he had sucked in some of that stuff and would cause a problem for him. But, hey, he's a scrappy young man, graduating from school, going off to college. But God moves in a great and mighty way. Josh, if you don't notice this, Miss Sue brought in a little baby. Josh loves children. He'll take every little kid home he could. Our house isn't big enough. He wants everybody to come home with him because our house isn't big enough. But he loves children. And he prays for the children of our little children of our church and wants to be friends with them. Now, some of the little kids don't know how to really approach Josh. But I've seen some of our bus kids that come in. They want to know about Josh. We've got a few of those kids that have a tender heart, and they want to see Josh. Because Josh likes them, and they like Josh. And they're curious, so why is Josh the way he is? And I just have to say, God made him that way. And they like Josh. But then there's some that just are afraid of Josh. Our pastor's grandchildren, they come periodically and visit our church. Josh likes them because they're little. They're his size. You know, maybe that's why he likes little kids, because he's small. He's small. He's petite. But they come and, you know, they really don't know how to approach Josh, because in their church they don't have anybody like Josh. And that's a good thing to have special needs people, because you learn how to deal with them. You know how to minister to them. You know how to be around them and how to communicate with them. And you see that? I see that a lot as we're going around it. I empathize with the caregivers. I empathize with the parents, because I see some people out in the community. They're struggling with them. And I say, I know. I've been there. And sometimes I like to try to help, but I know sometimes that me just kind of just backing off and not really doing anything, but I can go to prayer that intervenes. But they are a little, Pastor Bart's grandchildren, a little standoffish with Josh, but I've noticed lately they're curious about Josh, and they want to be around Josh. They like being around Josh. Josh is always happy. Most all the time, happy. And you know, I believe God put him in our path to help us, not so much to help him. We tried to help a young couple a few years back at Tower Boulevard. They had a guy who was a Coast Guard. Him and his wife, they had a special needs child that was born to them. And we thought, Brother Chris Hughes at the time was the pastor of that church, and said, ask us if we would talk with them. Just be an encouragement to the couple. They're a young couple like we were. And as he knew, we had been in the same boat. So we wanted to be an encouragement to them. And we went and spoke with them and talked, went to the service that day and talked with them. But you know what? God flipped that on us. They were more of encouragement to us than we were to them. You know, you could share things that with parents and that have special needs children that you can't share with others, because they know exactly. They know what boat you're in. They've been there. And a lot of times we can help each other with things that will work and things that, oh, you definitely don't want to do that. But they understand. And those that work with special needs, you understand some of the things that they go through and some of the things that they do. But it helps us and encourages us to be thankful for what we have. But if we have the right heart of the Lord, we want to be the help to those people. And a lot of times Joshua just brings us back to reality. Most of the time, brings us back to the reality of knowing what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live our life. Josh is one of those that really, I think, has taught me and taught my wife patience. Patience. And love. You know, sometimes I'm not lovable. Imagine that. Now, my wife, she's always lovable. She's never cross. She's no, but he teaches us how to be lovable. I mean, Josh can do some things, and I have to discipline him. Now, do you discipline a special needs child? Yes. Yeah. You just can't let him go rampant. It's just like a normal child. You have to have the right mindset when you do it. But they need to be disciplined. When they're doing something wrong, maybe I shouldn't share this, but I'm going to share it with you. We were just Sandy. Sandy was, we were talking about the other night, back when Josh was little, Josh would get up at night. And he would just go through the house. And our problem was concern for safety. You know, we didn't want him to harm himself. But we wanted him to be safe. So we actually had to modify his bed that he slept in. Now, this bed was made to help Josh to stay in the bed and to keep him from harm. I want you to remember that. Okay? But if social services had to come into our house, I'd have been hauled away. But it was just at night when we'd go in, he had an A-frame bed, and Andrew was at that time, I think Andrew was at the beginning was staying with him, so they both shared a room. So there was always, Andrew was, he could do just about anything. He's one of those children. So he was in there, but we would actually close Josh in to keep him safe at night, so he couldn't get out of the bed. And, you know, we do the monitors and all those things at that time. That was just coming into that. But, you know, we try to keep Josh safe. And in discipline him, we try to keep him safe, though he don't know that he shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. Now, it's a little different. You have to do it differently. But yet, he's just like any other child. He wants to do wrong. He's just like you and I. God says, no, you can't do this. But, Lord, I want to do this. Okay? If you want to do that, go ahead. But there's a penalty to pay when you do those things. Same thing with God. God does those things. God knows what we need. He knows how we need it in our lives. And to keep us on the path that He has chosen for us. That's why God has put Josh in our lives, to keep us on the path. We need to be encourage each other along the way and know that we are not the only ones that struggle in life and that you're not alone. That's what I want to try to convey this morning, that you're not alone. The 23rd Psalm says that He is our shepherd. He leads us. Let me just quote that real quick. I wanted to go to 100. I wanted to go Psalms number 1. That's one of my, that's my dad's favorite and one of my favorite. But the 23rd Psalm, we did a series on this a few years back, and I got to be the shepherd, and I learned so much about this Psalm. But I want to leave you with this morning, that, you know, you're not alone. God knows exactly where you are, and He is the good shepherd. And I go to this verse a lot when I'm struggling or when things, I just don't know what to do. A few years back, Josh was suffering with some neurological things, and we didn't know what to do. It got really bad. The only thing that would calm him was putting him in bath water. That would calm him. He thinks every day at Murray Ridge is swim day. Okay, he goes to the workshop now, and he feels, thinks he's going to go swimming that day. Now, for a while there, they would do that every so much on a Thursday. He would have his swimming trunks, and he'd have his towel, and he'd get in there, and he'd want to go swimming, but he'd get in there for about 5 minutes, and he's done. I want to go stand under the shower. And that's what he loved about Murray Ridge, man, never-ending hot water. That doesn't happen in my house. It does not happen. I don't have a never-ending supply of hot water, but Josh loves the swimming, and he does those things, but I got sidetracked. But the Bible says in verse number 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel nor evil. For thy rod and thy, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will go to dwell. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That is my goal. I know that He's with me. Surely goodness and mercy. I've known the goodness of God. I've known the mercy of God. You see, I'm not always obedient to the Lord. Neither are you. But I know the mercy. When I come and ask, "Lord, forgive me. I should have listened to you. I should have listened to the direction of the capital S. But I listened to the small S. That's me. And I find myself straying. I find myself where I don't want to be, but I find myself there. But God brings me back with His mercy. And what I want to do one day, I'm looking forward to it. I read more about His Word, and I know it's not all in here. But I'm looking to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is our dwelling place right now, this church, for you. I like coming to church. This is a dwelling place. This is the house of the Lord, a place set aside where we can come and worship Him, and sing His songs, and praise Him, and where we have like believers, and we believe the same thing, and we're reading His Word. But we're going to the house of houses one of these days. I'm going to dwell there forever. Your life is short. It's short. The Bible says it's just a vapor. But you know what? Eternity is forever. It is. You got to prepare for eternity. Now, I prepare for retirement. Will I see retirement? I don't know. The way society's going, the way the world's going, I probably won't. I'll probably work right up to the end. My dad worked. He talked about retirement. He talked about, you know, slowing down. And he did slow down a little bit, but my dad worked all the way up to the end. The last day we worked, the day before my dad had his accident, and then a week and a half later went on home to be with the Lord, we worked that Friday. He's getting prepared for a camp meeting. But that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to work. And we need to work until He comes. One day work will stop. One day your laboring will stop down here. But what are you doing about eternity? Now, you can help all the people that you want, and I think it's great for these people that help the special needs. My hat's off. I know you deal with some difficult things. And the Lord gives people a special love and a tenderness to deal with special needs kids. I see it at the workshop. You know, my son Joshua's had some tremendous teachers. Mrs. Green was one of Josh's teachers twice. She was just a lovely lady, and she was a believer. And then Lord put people in Joshua's path that he was teachers there at Murray Ridge, and I thank the Lord for that. A lot of people there. Josh loves music. You know, you have Josh Uhas here. I remember him. He gets excited. He's easy to excitable. But that's wonderful. But Josh loves music. Joshua, I'm surprised he said as calm as he did when the music was playing up here, because Josh loved music. You know, my plan was to have enough boys to start my own quartet. Josh would have fit right in. He loves music. He loves music more than my other boys love music. Now, we'll get up in the morning here, Josh will be playing gospel music. Now, I wish I could say that my sons play gospel music all the time, but that's not so. That's they've been taught better. They have to give an account for that. I can't. I love you, Nate. But he loves gospel music. He loves going to church. Sometimes I don't want to go to church, but he wants to go to church. He wants to be there to see the pastor. I love that about the pastor. Now, you are the favorite guy. You are, really. And a lot of these people are, a lot of these kids will look up to that. They look to somebody that is the pastor, somebody that is the leadership. But God wants us to be ready to meet Him. One of these days, we'll stand before God and have to give an account. How will you stand before God? How will you stand before God? You know, Christ came into this world to save the world. He came to save this world for you. Those special needs children, I think there's a special place in heaven for them. Can a special needs child get saved? They have to know that they're lost. I think Josh knows that he has Jesus in his heart. You ask him where he is, he says he's inside. He's in his heart. He loves the Lord. He loves to come to the house of God. Somebody that doesn't love to come to the house of God, there's a problem. But Josh loves to do that. Do you love to come to the house of God? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's you and me. I'm no longer lost. I know the Good Shepherd. But He may be searching for you today. I don't know your spiritual condition. Only you and God do. But the Bible says this, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We'll stand and give an account before God. How will you stand before God? Will you stand there with Jesus as your advocate? Or will you stand there with Him as your judge? And the words you do not want to hear is this: depart from me. I never knew you. That's it. You know, you got a chance now. You got a chance while you have breath in your body to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But when that body, that breath leaves your body, there's no more hope. I wish I could say that there is. We see a lot of people at our church that have family members that die and go off in eternity without Jesus Christ because they didn't make the choice. And it's a sad thing. I've heard my pastor say, I wish I could say that they're okay, but I can't say that. Because they didn't do what the Bible says we're supposed to do now while we have. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Do you know Jesus Christ? We're going to go to invitation time. They're going to come and play a song. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you made that choice that you accepted Him? You know, you can struggle in life all by yourself. But I'm glad that I've had my life so far with Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not standing alone. He's there with me. In those valleys, in those struggles, I have one that's with me. And I don't know, couldn't tell you, I couldn't even count how many times that I've had to cry upon the Lord. But the Bible says when I cried upon the Lord, we've read that in Scripture, that He heard my cry. And He's always been there for me. He's been there for our family. He wants to be there for you.